another place where Paul, you know, really calls for an involvement, a response, participation, application. God desires that we respond to Him. And there's a constant appeal intertwined through the Scripture, you know, for us to come to Him, to hear Him, to follow Him. Beginning in verse 1, chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word and the promises, the truth that you've opened our eyes to, Lord. Open our heart to it. And have your way in us, Lord, according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, in a familiar... How many of you are familiar with this passage? I mean, you've heard it more than once, and it's been preached on. And so it's one of the all-time favorites. You turn to it because it speaks of a response. It speaks of God's love, and it speaks of change. God requires change in us. And really, mention here how He brings it forth. But, you know, the first thing you notice in this passage is Paul's appeal. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. It's a loving plea. You know, it's so much different than the Old Testament commandments. You know, thou shalt not. If you do, there's a curse that comes. It's a New Testament time we live in. And it's a loving tone and appeal that God has with us as He addresses us, as He tries to reach us. As Paul, please, brethren, please, brothers and sisters, you know, respond. He appeals with a loving tone. Then again, he speaks about some things that have gone before. You know, when you come to a therefore, it's kind of like a bridge to cross, a new bridge. And it's based upon the ground that you've covered so far. And Paul, you know, based upon the truth that he's covered so far in the book of Romans, brethren, please, therefore, respond. And, you know, you just look at a couple of previous therefores in the book of Romans. In chapter 5, verse 1, you know, therefore we've been justified by faith, you know, having through the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, and having peace with God, the Bible tells us. You know, that's a bridge to cross, you know, based upon the truth in the book of Romans, the truth of the, you know, the gospel of grace, God's free gift of eternal life. You come to that place where you accept it or you receive it. When you receive it, you cross that bridge. Therefore, brethren, we've crossed that bridge. We've been justified, declared righteous before God. God now looks at us as just like we've never sinned, based upon us receiving His grace and crossing that bridge. Another bridge was one of my all-time favorites. In chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. No judgment awaiting us. Oh, that's a good one, man. You know, we've received a pardon and an acquittal. And now Paul's saying, please, respond. Therefore, he, in this passage, you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, you know, by the mercies of God. You know, why we respond, how we respond. Really, the motivation would cause us to respond. God's mercy. What he's done for us. All that God has done for us. That's the therefore. This is the bridge we're to cross. What's been declared before up to this point in the book of Romans. God's grace. Loving grace. God's Holy Spirit that he gives us. Brings deliverance and freedom to us. Only by his Spirit can I taste victory. Or follow him in a way that he desires. Paul, you know, gives us the method by which we're to respond. By the mercies of God. And the motivation. Why we respond. Because of all that he's done for us. You know, why should I respond? Why would I respond? Because of his love. Because of how good he is. Because of what he's done for me personally. He died on the cross in my place. That's why I respond. That's why you respond. It's the loving appeal for us to respond. The Bible tells us of God's ways. He's the initiator. The Bible says that he initiates, he calls. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He initiated that action. Stooping down, becoming a man, condescending, becoming a man. Humbling himself as a servant, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross, the Bible tells us. And he did that, he initiated that, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. To call forth a response to us. God initiates in our life. You know, he called us, he draws us, he loves us. Because of his mercy, by the mercies of God, we're to respond to his initiation. You know, the book of Ephesians is set up that way, and how in the first three chapters of Ephesians just tells us of all the riches that God has given us. We're blessed, you know, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All that he's given us and endowed us, spiritual riches. And then in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul uses both in words. I beseech you, therefore. He calls forth a response based upon all that God has done. And that's how God works. He doesn't want us to respond in our own strength. He wants us to respond according to what he's done. By the mercies of God, we're to respond to his love and his loving call for a response. Second thing I notice in this passage is this whole response, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice to God, is a spiritual worship. It's kind of like spiritual. It's how we worship him. He's calling us to respond to him, to worship him. And one of the greatest ways that we can worship in one of the highest forms is when we yield to him. We come before him. We respond to him. We really show up as the Bible calls us to. And we respond. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. And turn back to chapter 6. Remember back when we were talking about this very thing in verse 13, chapter 6. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. To present ourselves to God. Meaning to yield ourselves. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you respond to God and you yield to him. You give yourself to him. Submit to him. That's one of the highest forms of worship that we can, you know, respond in. And by the mercies of God. The Bible tells us in Leviticus, if Leviticus 1, regarding a burnt offering that you were to bring, says that if his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will, a choice. you know, he calls us to respond, but he's so loving and he's such a gentleman. He never forces his way upon us. He calls us to respond freely, voluntarily. He calls us to come to him, to respond to him. Spiritual worship. It's a choice. It's the response to him is in the form of a dedication. It's not only yielding and a free choice, but it's a form of dedication that we dedicate ourselves to him. Look back in Luke chapter 2. Regarding Jesus, after he was circumcised on the eighth day, and Mary was purified according to the law and what was customary, he brought Jesus and dedicated him. Look in verse 22, chapter 2. Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. We were talking the other day about a baby dedication. You know, and how, you know, Jesus was just a little baby and they brought him to the Lord, presented him, you know, and kind of in compliance to the law, even though he wasn't a Levite. You know, the Levites, the Bible says that of the firstborn, the Levites would be brought forth and given to the Lord, you know, and dedicated to the Lord. And they brought Jesus and dedicated him to the Lord. And we were talking about it the other day. Why do you do baby dedications? What is it for? You know, we bring the babies before the Lord and we hold them up before the Lord and say, Lord, we commit the baby to you. That you would mold him and shape him and protect him and keep him or her. And him or her, she be your child with a heart that desires you and follows you. But really, the baby dedication's for the parents. You know, that the parents would take up and assume the responsibility to raise up the child in the ways of the Lord, which is a big responsibility. You know, the entire life of the child, training them up in the ways of the Lord, keeping them in church, you know, being a godly home role model. But yeah, another form of coming before the Lord and presenting your bodies a living sacrifice is in that form, a dedication, to be dedicated to the Lord. So you come before the Lord, dedicating yourself to the Lord. Notice he says, you know, a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, different than the Old Testament, where the sacrifices were, you know, all about death. You know, the slaying of the animals, the killing and the shedding of the blood. But Paul, pleading a response, of voluntary nature, of yielding and dedication, but a living sacrifice, based upon Jesus' death, but Jesus, our life. We come before him as a living sacrifice. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. In our new life, we're to dedicate ourselves, come to him, based upon his death, the right way. I remember doing one time we were working at a hospital out in Ann Arbor, the Todman Center or something like that. We had a big job, and we were doing carpeting down the hallways, and, you know, it was kind of cool. They had these carpet borders. They were about this wide, and they were special made, and there was two different colors. And, you know, we're to align the center of the hallways with this border, kind of like a double feature stripe, all through the hallways, through the whole hospital. And it was over a mile worth of border work. And just a long job overnight for like 5 or 6 weeks, and we were working away, you know, and falling asleep on the way home. But we were working, and we got to a certain point in the hospital where it curved, you know, and there was a radius in the hallway. They asked, and then, you know, unbeknownst to me, I showed up for work one evening, and I was like ushered into, a committee meeting. Okay, now you're to give a presentation, they told me. Presentation for what? Well, you got that problem with the curve. It wasn't even my problem. I didn't sell the job. I was just the carpet layer. But so I went in this room, and it was filled with all these committee people, you know, and they're asking me questions, grilling me. What is your proposal? How will we address this problem? And I said, well, you know, I got a little bored, and I was totally ill-prepared and intimidated, you know, and freaking out and stumbling over my words. But I said, what I'm going to do is I need a piece of carpet. We'll have to order some more carpet. We'll have to cut that radius. Well, you know, it's going to match the other borders, but we're going to have to order a piece of carpet. And it's going to require, you know, an added expense. But it was all based on what I was going to do. And my work. I'm going to take this carpet and, you know, I can handle this. I can do this. And, you know, I was trying to persuade them because that was what I was supposed to do. But when he calls us before him to present our bodies before him, a living sacrifice, it has nothing to do with what we do and what we've done. It's all based upon what he's did on the cross and his work. That's why we can come as a living sacrifice based upon his death. And coming the right way. Remember when Cain brought a sacrifice before the Lord. Abel brought a sacrifice. One was accepted, one wasn't. Coming the right way. Abel shedding the blood. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that Cain's wasn't accepted because he didn't present it by faith. He didn't bring it the right way. He didn't come the right way. We were to come before him. We're to respond as an act of worship. We're to do it the right way. And he goes on to talk about that. It's to be holy and acceptable to God. And turn back to if you go to the Old Testament, if you go left, just past Matthew and Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, look in chapter 1, verse 7. You offer defiled food on my altar, but you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Take it to your king if you think I'll accept it. Would it not? Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? No, we're to come before him and come based upon a holy way and come in a way that's acceptable to him. And that way is based only upon his death and his way. Not what I can do, not what I can say or think, or just based upon him. It's a holy and acceptable way to be yielded before him. He goes on to say, not only is it holy and acceptable, this act of spiritual worship, living sacrifice, but it's reasonable. It's smart. It's a... It means rendered logical, or it makes good sense. Kind of like that same scripture in Isaiah, where God invites us, you know, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. That's smart. Come, let us reason together. That's a reasonable thing to do. It makes all kinds of sense. And that's the same thing Paul's saying. Hey, you come before him, I beseech you, you respond, you come to him, you yield yourself to him. That's logical. It's a smart thing to do. Makes good sense. It's intelligent choice. I'll turn back to Luke chapter 1. In the midst of this prophecy. Look in verse 74. Verse 174. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all the days of our life. That's smart. He frees us. what he's done for us, and the response to serve him, and the commitment of dedication for the duration of my life, for the rest of my life, I'll serve you. Why? All you've done for me. You initiated it. I'll yield myself to you is the appeal, a loving appeal. Come before him. Yield yourself to him. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look in verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You've been bought with a price. You know, it only makes sense to come before him, yield ourselves to him. It's a reasonable choice. Paul's just, you know, putting it in order. It makes sense. It's an intelligent decision to respond. Please respond. If you do, if I do, there's a guaranteed result. Paul, in verse 2, he goes on to say, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We'll be changed. That's a fact. We're being changed. You know, we hear a lot about change lately. Obama, you know, he's talking about change. We'll change the world. We'll change everything. He doesn't have anything to say, any substance. But I'll change this, I'll change that. Now, John McCain. Oh, we're going to change Washington. Yeah, me and Sarah Palin, we're mavericks. We're going to change everything. But the truth is, you know, either one becoming president, there'll be very little change. But here's a guaranteed result of change. If we and you, I, do come to him, we respond, we yield to him, based upon his terms, the right way, dedicate ourselves, you know, to yield. I come to him, or you come to him, and you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Whatever you want me to do. You made me. I don't even belong to myself. You purchased me by your shed blood. What do you want me to do? Change will be the outcome. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform means it's a radical change. It means metamorphosis. It's a big change, not a little change. If I give myself on his terms and yield myself. Paul says, not to be conformed to this world. You've heard Phillips' translation. It says, you know, not to be squeezed into a mold by this world. You know, not to look like the world or be changed by the world or the things in the world, but to be transformed, he said, by the renewal or by the renewing of your mind. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that as a man thinks in his own heart, so is he. You know, the renewing of our mind. The Bible tells us about the mind of Christ that's been given to us. It's a daily process. Remember in the passage we go to a lot, you know, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for those who love him. At the end of that chapter, in that passage, you know, well, turn to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, it's about receiving the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes and, you know, reveals spiritual things to us. In verse 16 it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The spiritual application, the renewal of the mind, the daily process. Don't be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We covered in Romans 8 how we're to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. And then Paul goes on, he says that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The outcome, the real change. But it's almost like a challenge, you know. You prove it. You know, I don't know how many people ask, you know, I just want God's will. I'm just trying to find God's will. And, you know, I'm seeking God's will. And we are to seek God's will. But Paul calls us to prove God's will. You can prove God's will by yielding yourself to God. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? I'm here because of you. I belong to you. What do you want me to do, Lord? That act of worship, in one of the highest forms, is the one of the greatest responses we can do for God. It's what he's calling us to. Come to him, respond to him. And in coming to him, proving what is good, proving what is acceptable, and proving and demonstrating and declaring and showing God's will. Hey, God's perfect will. The will of God. It's kind of a daily rededication process, you know, and we're called to do it with a guaranteed positive outcome and result of change. It's God's way, God's formula. Come before him, his way, and yield ourselves to him, and he'll change us from the inside out. That's a promise. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the invitation. And we thank you, Lord, for your love and the loving tone, how much you love us and how you deal with us. And Lord, we do come before you. We praise your holy name. We ask, Lord, that you would work in our hearts your plan, your will. And Lord, let us understand from our heart, yielding ourselves to you, what you desire. What do you want us to do, Lord? What are you trying to tell us? Speak to us, Lord. That we might demonstrate your goodness, your love, your perfect will. Lord, we do come before you. We thank you and praise you. Lord, do bring forth from us, Lord, the worship you desire, not only from our lips and from our heart change, from our life choices, from the dedication and the devotion of our choices. Lord, we look to you based on your shed blood and based upon your sacrifice, on the basis of your shed blood. We come before you and we ask, Lord, that you have your way in us for your plan, for your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have a final song? All right. Well, while they're getting it together, we can be seated, and I want to pray. We're going to take prayer requests, but I'd like to pray for Ron. He's going through a hard time. He's hurting, going through a divorce. It wasn't his choice. Wife was unfaithful. I just pray that the Lord would intervene and bring comfort to him and discomfort to his wife. You turn the lights on. Let's pray. Yes, and old Ronnie. Yeah. Father, we do thank you. We do hold up Ron before you, Lord, and we place him in your hands. We ask, Lord, that we know that all things work together for good, and through this whole painful episode, Lord, we ask that you bring comfort, that he would sense your presence. That he would turn to you, Lord, and open his heart to you. That he would trust you. You put a hedge about him. And Lord, walk him by your presence and your love and your faithfulness and the comfort that only you can bring. Walk him through this, Lord. We hold up Ronnie to you. We ask that you protect him and the development of him. And Lord, we hold up his wife. We ask, Lord, that you would convict her. We ask that you would turn the lights on, that you give her a fear of you, that you would show her, Lord, the truth of her son and this whole action. We commit to you. We ask, Lord, that you would intervene. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. In love.